Welcome to the 100-something podcast. This is episode number 5, Adventures in the Big, Big City. I'm Mr. Bowen, and that's Rachel the Art Harpy, and we've been together for nearly 20 years. And we want to share our artistic journey with you.
Yay! Hello, I'm back!
Yes, you're back.
I'm back. Unfortunately, we did not bank an episode before I left for San Francisco because things got a little crazy.
Ooh, listen to you with the podcast talk.
What?
Banking an episode.
Well, that's what you said.
Nice.
But we should have banked an episode.
I know.
I'm copying you.
I'm glad it is soaking in now.
It is.
Because I'm just making it up to you.
You listen to more podcasts than I do.
That's true.
I got a cold.
All I do with my ears.
Yeah. I got a cold. I'm not sure if it's a cold or if I got some, maybe my delicate tissues in my nasal cavity and my lungs may have been damaged from screaming at the crack smoker in the elevator.
Possibly.
At the BART station.
Possibly.
I don't smoke crack. However,
and that's good.
He stepped into the elevator because I had this giant suitcase and I was trying to get on the train to go back to the airport. And mm-hmm. He stepped into the BART station elevator in Union Square, lit up a crack pipe.
Like you do.
Like you do. And I screamed at him, "Don't you dare exhale."
Probably,
I'm not going to scream it.
Probably louder, though.
Yeah, it was a lot louder. And
then what did he do?
He flipped out and opened the door and went outside.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It was probably that, not the nights of yelling and screaming that you'd done at various comedy shows during SF Sketchfest.
And having the...
staying up too late and getting up too early.
Yeah, and also having the air conditioner on in my hotel room because I'm used to Seattle weather. So anything anything above 62 is too hot.
Yeah.
So that's why I have a cold.
Probably.
But San Francisco was fun. I kind of went on an art retreat. You sent me on an art retreat by myself.
Yes.
And I love comedy. And I did stand up for a couple years and quit on the advice of my uncle. Not for anything bad. Not
because he
I
just
sucked.
Didn't want the competition.
Right, yeah.
That's what it was.
Because I'm the only funny one. And
you decided to make it family friendly. You decided to make it family friendly. So don't look at me when you want to say something that you decided you can't say. Or
I
maybe
don't know.
You can. And we'll just take it there.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
I just don't want it to derail and turn into a podcast of dropping the F-bomb, which is kind of what our living room is like. So, anyway, I still love comedy, and I had a great time doing stand-up. The kids were little at the time. See, my cold. It's messing me up. Our kids were little at the time.
Yes.
And I actually started getting work out of town. And mm-hmm. You can't continue to turn down jobs out of town and just do local stand-up. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
So my uncle, at the sage advice that he gives, which is always good advice, at least I'm going to pretend it is, that he's looking out for me and my best interest. Otherwise, I'd have to kill myself. He said you either need to take the jobs or quit because you're going to get blackballed if you turn down the jobs. So I quit because I figured you can be fat, old, and ugly and still do stand-up.
That's true.
If you're funny.
That's true. All you have to do is be funny.
Yeah.
Really.
So I went to the 11th annual Sketch Fest in San Francisco. I have a bag of treats.
Cool.
Yes. It was a lot
Let's
of fun.
See.
I met a lot of cool people and one of them is Chad Edge. With a single E, and he's a stand-up comic here. Well, because the double E is somebody else, it's not Chad Edge.
Gotcha.
Like Chaddedge. So I guess there are two E's, but not in a row.
But not three E's in his name.
Yes.
Right,
that is
okay.
Correct. So he's a stand-up comic here in Seattle, and he's a pretty funny guy. He's got a lot of cool stories because he traveled all over the world with his hippie parents or parents, I don't know. They traveled all over the world. I don't know the whole story. So he and I hung out a lot because he was also down there from Seattle to see Sketchfest. And you can follow him on Twitter. And then I also met Kilt Bill. And he was really funny, too. And he wears a kilt all the time. That's why he calls himself Kilt Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And he's Kilt Bill on Twitter.
Yes.
So both of those guys are interested in starting podcasts. And I said, just do it.
That's true.
You know, and I told them about 100 or something. And I said, just do it. But one of the things that Chad was giving out were these really awesome punt buttons. Because in life, sometimes you just have to punt.
Mm-hmm.
And he made it like the Tap Out logo because of another podcast that we listened to. And they're really awesome. So I'm going to put that up on the website. And then I got my fabulous uncle. I went to the Castro. Okay, the Castro is the best. The Castro smells like chocolate chip cookies.
Why?
Well, I found out that there's a chocolate chip cookie store right there, and they bake cookies there. So that's probably why. But oh. I think it's kind of also a magical place.
Okay.
Because there's people are really happy in the Castro. Well, they are now. They probably weren't, like, when the gays were getting shot and stuff.
Probably not.
Because nobody likes spilled milk.
Oh, ouch.
What?
Wow. 70s topical humor from San Francisco?
I don't know. All I know is that I saw three guys that were buck-ass naked running around in the Castro. Well, mm-hmm. They weren't running. They were walking.
Yes.
One of them had a little hat on his doodle.
Only one of them?
Yes. The other guy had silver horns on his head and had a silver horn on his doodle. I thought it was pretty creative.
That's pretty funny.
I mean, if you're going to have a hat on your doodle and have it match whatever you're wearing on the top of your head, that's an artistic
statement. You got to coordinate your accessories.
Yeah. Oh, really, the dude that had the knit cap on his doodle was also wearing black socks. I'm going to have to figure out how to, like, blur his face or something so I can put it on my website.
Since you didn't whip out a photo release for him?
No. Then he would have said I couldn't take his picture.
Well, yeah, I know.
But I did get some really cool, they have, like, just public art in Castro, too, mm-hmm. which was really cool. One of my favorites was this whirligig kind of sculpture that was in front of a stoplight. So I sat there and took a couple pictures of that. And the other thing, too, is that the pigeons are also naked in the Castro.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Actually, I think they qualify as being naked in any city, but
it's
at least in the Castro and in San Francisco in general, public nudity is legal.
Yeah. And I did also find out from a local that putting a towel down on a seat is not courtesy. It's a health code.
Yes.
Ordinance.
Yes. I don't know why I know that, but I do. I already knew that.
Oh, okay. Because you've been
going to San Francisco for so long, read the newspapers.
They have a really great train system and a really great bus system, and you can mm-hmm. totally get around in San Francisco without... I mean, it was cool to, like, ride the buses and stuff, except I got yelled at a couple times. Because people in San Francisco, they're nice, like, on the surface, but they're really mean when you, like, get out into the neighborhoods and stuff.
They can spot an outsider like that.
There was this guy who had cerebral palsy, and I was trying to help him on the bus, and this mm-hmm. kid tried to knock him over so he could get on the bus faster.
That might just be the kid.
That's true.
That might not be San Franciscans in general.
He did call me
San Franciscites?
Well, the concierge at the hotel was shocked that I had a good experience, and she had heard that people in Seattle are nice, and we were swapping stories about mean people in our respective cities.
Oh, yeah.
For like a half an hour.
Yeah. I think in general, some people are nice. Some people are just kind of douchey.
Yeah, that's true.
And they kind of live everywhere.
Yeah.
Both kinds.
That's true.
And that's
so I got some really cool bumper stickers in the Castro. Mm-hmm. I went to a nice little shop. I found our daughter the rainbow stripes suspenders that she wanted. Shocking.
In the Castro?
Shocking.
You found rainbow anything in the Castro? How did you...
I know.
I just don't even... I have no words. Rainbows in there?
They've got a corner on the market. So I got a Teach Tolerance rainbow sticker for our car.
Cool.
And a Peace sticker. And a Drama Queen, and then Girls Kick Ass. So those are the four bumper stickers that I got. And I'm trying to figure out how to string them together so they... maybe make a cool sentence like teach tolerance, drama queen, girls kick ass, peace. So,
well, I think you just did it.
Yeah, that wasn't too
fortunately
hard.
We were recording, so you can.
And then I got my uncle, he's not gay, but I keep saying he is. Hopefully someday.
And he sort of picked up on it as well.
Yeah. I think he wants to be secretly, because gay guys are just awesome. I got him a super gay. So it's a Superman symbol.
Ooh, it's stitched.
Yeah, it's a patch. I got him a Superman symbol, and in the center, it's rainbow, and in the center is the letter G for gay uncle. So he's super gay uncle.
Nice. He will like that.
Yeah, I'll have to put it in the mail.
It will no longer be a surprise.
Whatever. Okay, so then also we went to one of the oldest bars in San Francisco, and it's called Specs, and it was really a fun little dive.
Yeah.
And one of the coolest things was that there was a bumper sticker on the counter from Mukilteo, which is just like 10 minutes from our house. But there was a guy there sitting in the back of the bar, and he had on the table all spread out. He started January 1st. He made a resolution, or an intention is what people are calling them now. What's your intention for this year?
My intention is to make a resolution, not to make intentions.
My intention is to, like, wipe my butt on a regular basis. I don't know. I intend to do laundry more. Anyway, so he decided on...
Wait, isn't the road to hell paved with good intentions?
I know, right?
Back to resolutions, everybody. Back to resolutions.
So he was sitting in this corner table, and he had a beer, and I walked past to go to the bathroom, and then when I came back, I thought the table was like, how did I miss this table? Because it looked like it was covered with painted tiles. And the rest of the tables in the bar were just like plywood that had been... There was a lot of dirt there. It was kind of had that sheen of it's been manhandled and dirty. And this isn't the place where, like, you go and hang out for the night. You, like, go in, get a couple beers, go to another bar, come back to Specs.
So a neighborhood bar, not a destination bar.
Right. It's where you start from, and it's in North Beach. It's a really cool dive. Anyway, so I came back out of the bathroom, and the table was covered with what I thought was tiles, and then upon in closer inspection, he paints on bar napkins.
Cool.
So here are two of them that I got, and he was worried that I was going to get online and sell them for a lot of money, which isn't going to happen. I told him I was buying them for my personal collection, but I bought a nudie lady, and then I bought a cool dog, and he sits there every night and just paints on bar napkins, and he paints both sides. Some of them actually have stories that he's written on there about stuff he's overheard in the bar. Some of them are really awesome. He's just trying different styles, different patterns. A couple of them look like Kandinsky's. He had some that they looked like pointillism, just a whole bunch of different styles. And he's only been painting since the 1st of January.
Wow.
He probably had like 200 freaking napkins there.
Oh, I saw the photo of just the table full of
napkins. Has like plastic bags full of them sitting on the bench.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
What's his medium?
Those are acrylics.
These are acrylics.
Yeah,
okay.
They're just craft paint. They're crappy craft paint.
Nice.
And he's just sitting there blending colors, and you know, it's kind of interesting because, of course, in the bar light, it's like kind of amber ambient sort of light. They do look a little bit different, but I like them better in just regular incandescent light. And I was really inspired by him. I sat there and talked to him for a few minutes and just like, you know, what made you decide to do this? And he just said he needed a creative outlet, and this gave him something to do. He basically lays out all the pictures. Like, he was kind of sad to let those go because he wasn't quite done with them. But he said, you know, sometimes you just have to be done. And he had one that was like, he was doing a series of Jack Skellingtons as well. Nightmare Before Christmas. So he let me take a picture of all of them because I told him that I just was interested in art and was really impressed with what he was doing. And the sad thing was that he told me that I had been the nicest person to him all week. And apparently people come over and like make fun of his art, and he's good. I mean, those are cool. Even if you don't like the subject matter, you can still look at him and appreciate him. And I told him, I said, keep painting. I mean, these are great. So I just love the fact that he's basically setting up a studio and an art gallery every freaking night in this bar.
Mm-hmm.
And he's selling them for $5 a piece.
So he's at least paying for his bar tab. Then.
Yeah, he's totally paying for his bar tab. Anyway,
that's totally cool.
And his name is David Levin. He does not have a website. I made the guys that I was hanging out with and having beers with come over and take a picture of me with him so I could show you guys this cool stuff. And just, I love buying street art and stuff like that when I travel because, you know, the posters and whatever and the art museums are nice, but just connecting with that local that is just trying to make it, you know, or doing it because it's their passion. And anyway, I thought it was really cool. So I wanted to share that with you.
That was very cool.
That was one of the
little 4-inch cocktail napkins.
Yeah. Are they 4-inch or are they 3-inch? Because, see, I thought they were tiles. Anyway, we can scan them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're not for sale. I'm not going to get on the internet and sell them for a lot of money. But I will tell you,
Unless it's a lot of money.
If you want David Levin's art, go to Specs in San Francisco. What else do I have? Oh, I also got on stage. I had some fun times with Jimmy Pardo. He does a Running Your Trap, and I got to kind of do a sort of improv game show kind of thing with Jimmy Pardo and Pat Francis and Simon Helberg, who plays
Howard Wolowitz
on Big Bang Theory, which is one of our favorite shows. And then Janet Varney, who is an amazing singer and really funny lady, and Cole, I don't remember his last name, but he's a funny guy too.
Okay.
Anyway.
Stratton?
I don't know.
That's probably not right.
Probably not, but we can post
it. I don't know why that name's in my head.
And then I went to go see Dave Anthony and Greg Barrett because they are truly in my heart, and they're gross, disgusting men, and I love them. And so I got to hang out with them, and I made them each a little demented toy, which you and I have been doing for years since we took the Michael Demain class.
Mm-hmm.
And Fiona, our daughter, helped me find these really cool starfish clown Christmas ornaments, so I made them into horrible sad toys, and they loved them. And I also had some other crass adventures with those guys. But then there was a rock show, rock comedy, so it was like some comedy and some rock and roll at Cobb's, and that was the last night, and it was totally like, you know, senior prom for the whole event. It was pretty awesome as far as like the highlight, and nobody got pregnant. As far as I know, you were right. It is Cole Stratton. Will just looked it up because he's got a Kindle Fire, which is an awesome little toy. But anyway, Jesse Tyler Ferguson, one of my favorite gays, who is on Modern Family.
Mm-hmm.
He did this amazing rock and roll parody and told a story about his mom, which was super hilarious. Hopefully someone broke the rules and taped it with their phone and put it up online, so we will find it. But so he wadded up his lyrics and threw them in the audience, and I caught them. And then I got him to autograph them, one for me and one for my cousin, because my cousin Justin and I always text back and forth to each other about Modern Family. Best episode ever. So I also learned about San Francisco that I totally overpacked art supplies.
You totally overpacked art supplies?
Yes. I packed way too many.
Okay.
So when you go on like a solo artist retreat, which I highly recommend everybody doing, whether you're a writer, photographer, artist, if you are a photographer or a writer, it's really not that hard to underpack, because basically if you have a laptop or a pad of paper and a pen or a camera, you're pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But like I was working on a project and was like, oh, I'll have all this time, so I'm going to take some stitching, and I'm going to take all my paints. Oh, and I'm going to draw, too. And then one day, I'm just going to walk around the city and take pictures. No, pick one. I did not need to bring my journal and my collage supplies and my glitter glue and beads and a clown costume to sew, and I did not need to bring embroidery.
Well, now, the clown costume was for the podcast.
The event,
you were
yeah,
go
that's true.
Too. So that was different. It
yeah.
wasn't really an art supply.
No. It was
but
a project.
But point well
though.
Taken on the other stuff.
Yeah, and honestly, I mean, I've never... I should have known better. I've hand-stitched stuff before, like mm-hmm. clothing items. Mm-hmm. I hate sewing on buttons. Why would I want to sit there and stitch seams? Really? I mean, that was just like...
Because up in, 'cause in the run-up to the event, there was no clear thinking as to what you were going to take as far as we were just both kind of going, yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
That's
yeah,
true.
Do that. No, yeah. that's going to be, oh, yeah, you'll have plenty of time to... Well, you're going to be in a hotel.
Right.
So obviously, there's going to be hours and hours and hours when you're not doing anything.
Yeah.
Fill it with art.
Yes.
Therefore, you will need art supplies.
Right.
So.
And I did. I mean, I made a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I the light in my hotel room was kind of crappy because even though they have brought back the incandescent bulb because they heard me screaming at the universe, it has nothing to do with the tea partiers. But everybody has a right to their own light. And
exactly.
Anyway, they had like three different freaking compact fluorescent bulbs in the room. And I hate that.
Well, you know, once you put those in, they never go, they never die. So,
and
so
they're all different
they
colors.
Yeah.
It's like one of them was kind of pink and the other was kind of green. And I was just like, really? I want to stab somebody.
Yeah.
So I took all my art supplies and stuff down to the swanky lobby. And
yeah.
I sat in front of the fireplace. Had my laptop, was listening to tunes, had my headphones on. It was really fun.
Yeah.
So then I got to be the weirdo in the corner, and people came over and, like, looked at my art and were kind of repelled, was good.
Did they point and laugh, or did they say, ew, or did they just look and then walk away?
One guy looked and smiled and then walked away. But, you know, the headphones, people think that you can't hear them or
yeah.
see them.
Yeah, that is kind of odd that you, when you're wearing headphones, people think you can't see them.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
Yeah, and there was a kid that was like, oh my God, Mom, what's wrong with that thing? So it kind of felt like a Princess Bride moment. You know, I will cut off and go to eat.
Ah, you experience
but I
the
your
pain.
Perfect ears, yeah. But that was really cool, and the hotel was awesome because
yeah.
they had a free wine tasting every night, which was good.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. And it was a couple blocks from Chinatown,
mm-hmm.
so I got to go explore Chinatown, and, you know, they have a bunch of stuff there that's made in China.
Wait.
I didn't
All
know
right.
if you knew that or not.
So, okay, hang on. San Francisco's Chinatown has... See, I'm still reeling from the rainbows. In the Castro is what
and the hat doodles.
The hat doodles didn't
doodles
really shock me that
hat,
much.
Yeah.
Public nudity, long time thing in San Francisco. But the rainbows? I don't know what to say.
The rainbow suspenders, you're just jealous because I didn't bring you some.
No, not really.
Okay, good.
It's okay. That's more of a fee thing.
Yeah. It's all good. So... Now I lost my place. Oh, the Chinatown.
Yes.
Chinese.
Exactly.
China stuff.
Yes.
I don't see anybody protesting Chinatown like they do Walmart. That place is rife with people. And all the crap there is made in China.
Yep.
Just saying.
I don't know.
It's a double standard. How can one place be a tourist trap and the other place be hated?
Longevity.
Yeah. All right.
Tradition.
Maybe it's
I don't
paper
know.
Lantern.
Honestly, I don't know.
Maybe
it's probably a bit of quaintness.
Maybe if they hung up paper lanterns in the dollar stores.
And Walmarts.
Yeah. People would not be so angry.
Or they could float little sushi boats in the troughs in the restaurants.
Yep. They could do that.
Put chicken McNuggets on
right.
boats in troughs at the McDonald's and the Walmarts.
Gross.
And then no one would complain anymore. See? This is how the logic works.
Yeah. That's brilliant. So do you have any questions about my trip?
I don't.
Oh, I had to ship back two boxes of stuff, and I still was slightly overweight on my luggage. And what's really sad is I didn't really buy a lot of stuff while I was down there.
Which is good. What's, you know.
I basically have this Ziploc bag of stuff, and then I got you a poster.
Which is very cool.
Mm-hmm.
From one of the podcasts, or one of the comedy
Patton
shows.
Oswald. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oswald.
I was very happy, and I tweeted that last week.
Yeah. I tweeted a lot of stuff while I was down in San Francisco.
Yes.
And tried. I still have not set up the picture tweeting yet, but...
We'll get to it. It's
yeah.
okay.
While I was gone, you did something amazing for me, though.
What I did?
You got Art Harpy back.
Oh, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to get the artharpy.com domain back
mm-hmm.
for my lovely wife and her lovely website from the squatter.
Yes. And what is a domain squatter for those of the people, the five people that are listening that don't know?
All right. Knuckle cracking. Well, maybe not. Maybe I'll drop in a sound effect there. Okay, so a domain squatter is someone, there's basically two kinds. One person who will buy up a domain with the intent of squatting, in quotes, on it to purchase or to drive up a price of a domain to sell it to whomever owns it.
Mm-hmm.
Say, if someone were to buy the Burger King domain because Burger King didn't decide to get into the web quite early enough,
mm-hmm.
They could buy BurgerKing.com. Anybody can buy, you know, anything. And then offer to sell it to Burger King for
millions
$20,000, $50,000,
yeah.
$100,000, whatever, dollars. And then Burger King could either, you know, swing their mighty corporate law hammer at people and say we have prior art trademarks and et cetera, et cetera.
Which is what McDonald's did, didn't they? The McDonald family in Scotland
That's a slightly different thing, and that's why I didn't use it as an example because the McDonald's issue, which actually I think was one of the first domain squatter issues or settlements, a man whose last name was McDonald bought McDonald's.com.
Mm-hmm.
And used it as a family site.
Right.
Had no intention of selling it to
yeah.
or squatting on it for McDonald's. McDonald's came in, decided they wanted the domain, and effectively sued him until he was
Bustly.
Essentially forced to give up the name.
Yeah.
Based on trademarks and prior art and a bunch of other stuff. So there's that. The other method is that people will troll expiring domains.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes will, if the domain expires, and they will sometimes swoop in, grab the domain, and then hold it essentially for ransom, saying, you know, I'll get you. What did the guy offer you? What was the price that he offered?
Oh, it was like $5,000.
$5,000. Okay.
For
your domain. Yeah.
And because last Christmas. We were broke.
Christmas before last.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Not
2011, 2010.
Yeah.
Yeah, things were really super tight financially, and the domain was going to expire, and we just didn't have the money the week that expired, but they'll hold it for a month. And for whatever reason, this guy got it before that time was up.
For some reason, he was able to get it after it had been expired for about a week.
Yeah, but wasn't.
We were working with GoDaddy at the time, and yes, I know, it's horrible and awful, whatever. But
GoDaddy wasn't awful 2 years ago, though, or a year
anyway.
Ago. Anyway.
So the...
squatter.
The squatter grabbed the domain, and... Okay, yes. I fully admit we could have scraped together the money to pay for it.
If we had known, I mean,
priorities, things, you know, food on the table, whatever else, blah, blah, blah. That said, the guy said, hey, yeah, you can have it back. You pay me $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
So for the last year, from December of late December of 2010 until late December of 2011, the arthoppy.com domain was pointing to some veterinarian site.
Yeah, he even scraped that.
Based in Issaquah. He just pointed it at one of his servers, and that's where it happened to be. So that was fun, exciting.
It was really kind of sad, too, because it wasn't intentional that I really let it lapse, but it wasn't fully unintentional either. And I didn't think, I mean, I don't have a lot of traffic going to my website right now because I'm kind of in this sort of limbo thing of, having some technology anxiety. So I wasn't really keeping up with my website and posting a lot of stuff. So I'm kind of getting into a better schedule as far as, okay, this day is going to be catch up on overdue projects. This day is going to be working with photos. This day is going to be technology day. And I've talked to a couple of artists that works really well for them. So they're not trying to split their focus, and they can actually have a couple days where all they do is work on actual art projects, and then they have designated days that are for the business side of art, because it is very left brain, right brain stuff that you're working with.
Yeah.
So,
and it's difficult to switch back and forth between those, as you know, I'm sure all of our artist listeners know. I was finally able to, I found that the domain, I've been watching it, the domain expired, and of course, you know, a week later, couldn't swoop in and grab the domain. 2 weeks later, I thought, well, this is odd. So a month after the domain had expired, I finally was able to put a bid on the domain.
This was such garbage. This is a new thing that they've started, by the way.
So it went to auction. So I put a bid down. I put the minimum I could. And the terms of the domain transfer were such that once I had won the bid, I had to wait a full 7 days for them to contact the owner, in quotes again, of the domain. And yes, I guess technically he was the owner. Giving them the option of paying for the renewal for the domain, No, they didn't. They didn't at the time. That was a different policy then. This is the new policy now, because I don't know. Someone probably complained about it. But the idea being that they would give that person full, you know, a good, honest chance to go ahead and renew, even after it had been a month and 7 days. And on the 9th, I was sent an email that said, congratulations, the domain has been changed, and you are now the owner
and
register of the
Because Art Harpy had been mine for like 5 years prior to that.
That's true. That's true.
So it
but
is
now it is mine. Mwahaha!
Rats, yet another reason not to divorce you.
And then after that, just to make sure that it doesn't happen again, I went in and I set everything to automatically renew. And then I paid for 9 years. So,
high five.
There you go. So, artharpy.com, unless something else happens, will probably not ever redirect to a weird veterinarian site in Issaquah, Washington.
Yeah. And this
we hope. Unless, of course, we decide to become veterinarians
that
for some reason.
The first story I heard about a domain squatter was also another artist. When we went to Art Fest, and I felt so, so horrible for her, because she actually had registered her name her domain.
Yeah.
And she kind of had the same thing sort of happen. She wasn't really paying attention, and she basically lost the domain, had a squatter, but the squatter was a porn website.
Yep.
So thank God that didn't happen to me, because the porn websites have a lot of money.
Yes.
So I don't know if she actually ever got her domain back or not, but that was a sad turn of events for her. And I, you know, that's one of those things where I was a little bit on my high horse about, well, that's never going to happen to me, blah, blah, blah.
And then it did. And now you know.
And now I know the pain and sadness.
Yes.
But it's back now.
Yay.
So So I'm going to have a big honkin' launch party and celebrate.
There'll be at least one popper.
Yes.
And probably a glass of champagne.
Yes. And cold medicine. Because that mixes well with champagne. Yeah, good times,
So artharpy.com will be back shortly.
Yeah.
Right now, I think it's parked at GoDaddy's
probably
hosting facility.
But we're going to work on that this weekend, so I'm so excited.
Yay!
So, yeah. So what are we working on now? I got some really cool stuff done. I sent out a few more things with SwapBot. I did my first wire and bead artist trading card, which
cool.
was fun. I like the way it turned out.
Mm-hmm.
Had a little bit of a three-dimensional sort of sprawling to it, my little spiral heart that I love making.
Oh, that was very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of torn about the whole 100 hearts. I mean, we talked about them doing paintings, so I think we need to kind of reevaluate that and decide, because, it was about getting into the medium.
There's painting on the card.
Right. That is true. That is true.
It counts.
Does it?
Yeah.
You think?
Sure.
Okay.
Why not?
All right. Well, then I guess we need to start posting our hearts and fishes again.
Yeah, we probably do.
I don't know what number I'm on right now.
I don't either.
But
I don't either. Do 26 on the website, I think, actually.
Yeah. Do you know what number you're on?
I am 30-something.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's not a competition.
No, it's not. If that were the case, then my dad, who we talked about in the last podcast, is definitely winning, as he was finishing up number 47 or 48.
He said he's going to send us pictures, too.
At 50.
At 50.
When he gets to number 50, he's sending pictures.
And what was the eight-sided thing?
When we see those pictures, we will post. Basilica.
Basilica.
Yes.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah. Okay. So, update. The last podcast, the eight-sided birdhouse is a basilica.
Basilica.
Yes.
That's a vocabulary word for this week.
And the concrete bird bunker is not, when I last checked, is not finished yet.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah. So, here we go. I am working on, walking around in Hobby Lobby the other day, and I saw their model section, and
mm-hmm.
I said, you know what? I used to like building models.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought a couple models, and I posted on Twitter that I was getting back into modeling.
Such a goober.
Responded. I don't know why.
Because you're a handsome guy.
Oh, okay.
So maybe people
thought you
were getting back into modeling.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
I did post a picture of the sprue trees with the model pieces on it.
Oh, okay.
So maybe that was why they didn't respond.
Probably.
They thought,
is that what those are called, sprue trees?
That's the plastic things that the pieces are stuck to
are called
sprue. I'm not making that up.
That's gross.
Sorry. I could cite it. I could link to Wikipedia on it.
So I just call them sprue trees
because when you take
basilica and sprue,
you take the pieces off, they just look like these naked branches of
doodle hat.
Yeah, that's probably not in the Random House dictionary.
It might be on Urban Dictionary though.
Webster, doodle hat.
I don't know.
It should be.
I can put it on there.
You can, because that's how crowdsourcing works.
Yes.
So
your what models did you make?
I bought a P-47D Thunderbolt.
Uh huh. Which is what?
Is
it an airplane?
World War II airplane.
Okay.
And then I bought a Panzerkampfwagen.
Mm-hmm.
It's a German tank.
Okay.
A very small German tank from World War II.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then are you going to build like a diorama around them? Do you think?
I don't know.
Or you're not sure what you're going to do?
I don't know what I'm going to do.
Are you going to mod out the little German soldier dudes that came with it and put skeleton heads on them or something?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
I may actually use the pieces from the German, for the little German mm-hmm. dudes in other things.
Oh, okay.
But I'll probably build the tank just to build it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So are you excited about applying some new painting techniques that you've learned, or what do you feel is artsy about the models? Or did you just want to do them?
I think they're just practical. They're not really because they are representations of larger objects.
Sure.
So I don't look at them as much as art, as just a kind of a functional representation of another. I guess not even that functional, really.
You just want to do it for fun.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
You know, it was just something I used to like doing a lot when I was a kid, so I thought, you know, I haven't done that in a while.
That's cool.
Let's see what that, you know, that does.
Awesome.
See what that opens up.
Awesome.
And I haven't, you know, and I have discovered, however, that some of the paints that I use now are not at all appropriate for using on the, using on something at that scale.
Like the acrylics that we use?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because they're too thick. They're too, they don't allow for the detail to that's pressed into the or molded onto the things.
Oh, huh, okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It's a scale issue.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, look at that. We talked for 40 minutes.
Sweet.
Cool.
Yay, podcast number 5 in the bank, yo.
The 100 of Something podcast is shared under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative License. For more information, visit creativecommons.org.